It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy, I think. Well, here we go, and I apologize for the previous... I try to be responsible about things. I just tweeted that there would be no program this evening, and I Facebooked the same, but it turns out we're going to try. The internet was deader than Pharaoh's cat, and now it's sort of, maybe, kind of, I hope, possibly back. And Brother Deacon Asa tells me we are live at headon.live and okay on TuneIn, which means that we're streaming at White Rose. Knockwood, who knows how long that will last. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and this program is live. This is The Horn for Thursday, the 7th day of December, a day which will live in infamy, as the historic quote goes. And... in a way, well, there's no comparison, but kind of a little bit more infamy going on in the Senate of the United States today. Everything that we talked about last night came to fruition. Thank you, Les, loud and clear on TuneIn. I got to admit, I have it's been an interesting 21 hours. Thank you all for the very kind remarks, each and every one of you, that you sent regarding the content of last night's filibobster. I say that most sincerely. It has, you know, caused me. I'm still pondering it and thinking about it, especially with the events of today. And I really appreciate your kind words, your words of support, and your willingness to share things that many of you say happened to you. Thank you. If you want to be part of the madcap, merry, zany, wacky, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours of this program, when it's live every Monday through Friday evening, I heartily encourage you to run on over to headonradionetwork.com and participate in the free chat room. Everything here at The Horn is, after all, free. And just click on chat room, pick yourself out a free screen name and a free password, and jump right in, whereupon you will be met by the likes of Anatole and Arthur and Mr. Bill and Steve from Georgia Stan and VT Blom, all capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has appeared in two places at once as both Sparky and Man Cave. Sparky telling me he just got an update done. I haven't taken that update yet. I'm hoping I can push it back until the weekend. But with the way my luck is running, it'll probably decide to happen in the middle of the program. If I disappear, that's why. This is a listener-supported program. We have no ads here. You know, no Buy Gold Now or vacuum cleaners picking up bowling balls or any such foolishness as that. No, none. And so, as a consequence, we rely upon listener contributions, not listener bills, not listener the charges, not listener fees. We rely upon listener contributions. Okay. And toward that end, we try to raise $200 every evening. Sometimes, through the help of subscribers, we don't have to raise $200. Last night, for instance, we had an $80 fundraising goal. Our buddy Texas T took care of half of that, and that left us with $40 to deal with overnight. And I can tell you very happily that that happened. So that means that we don't have a deficit. I have thanks to send out to our buddy Dr. Allen in Texas, and to Reed in California. Thank you to you both, and thanks to Peg in the sandbox, who also kicked in. And the sum total and effect of that is that we don't have $200 to raise this evening. We have, in fact, only $110 to raise this evening. So thanks to everybody, and by everybody I mean Reed and Dr. Allen and Peg, for making that possible. For being partial sponsors of this evening's program. I had a note to go with. Peg sent a note along as well, and she said, "An horrific, evil, powerful, and painful experience for you. Too much for a child to have withstood. Your superb intellect, solid moral center, allowed you to survive that monstrosity. I look forward every day." To your brilliant knowledge of interpretation. I have a hard time reading stuff like this. But I look forward every day to your brilliant knowledge of interpretations of horrific current history that allows me to survive or find solace in this awful period for the USA. I agree with your call that the Minnesotans are being disenfranchised by a power-hungry group of Democrats. The charges against Franken have yet to be investigated and are nowhere near the magnitude of Orange Menace or more against children. Lastly, on a semi-humorous note, Peg writes, I was sitting listening to your December 6th podcast while waiting at the U.S. Embassy in Abu Dhabi. I was fully absorbed in your heinous childhood experiences that I was so fully absorbed in your heinous childhood experience that I didn't hear my name being called by the security guard to go through phase two of security to get my passport. The security guard walked by again and shouted, Where's Peg? I quickly said, Yes, I'm here. And he said, Take the earbuds out. I said, Yes, sir. Sorry. A lot of armed guards there at the moment, too, Peg notes. Anyway, thank you again for all you do for the Horn community and your commitment to health of Appalachian residents. Thank you. Thank you, Peg, and thank you to you for helping keep this on the air. Because, well, we don't set a really high fundraising goal, and we still struggle to meet it. We wouldn't meet it without you and others. So thank you very kindly, Peg. Now, one of these days, I don't know, maybe we can get rid of fundraising altogether. But so far, we haven't quite hit the right. Well, we haven't hit the right combination, but the hardworking scientists over at Horn Nutraceuticals wanted me to let you know that there's a new product out. One of these days, they're going to hit the right one, and golly gee, if folks like Alex Jones are any indication, we will be in the big bucks. So, it just Well, let me commend to you the mickle powers of Insisted Endive. That's right, Insisted Endive from Horn Labs is a proprietary blend of endive that has been ground and bound and pounded and formed into capsules that you can take any way you like and as much of them as you like. Insisted Endive is vegan, non-GMO, free-range, cage-free, gluten-free, and in fact, nutrition-free. Because, of course, Insisted Endive from Horn Nutraceuticals is just another bullshit nutritional product that we're out here pitching, because you can't be a real, live, honest-to-God radio program unless you've got a bullshit nutritional supplement to hustle. Insisted Endive from Horn Nutraceuticals. Insist upon it. Ah, see what I did there? Right. Yes. Post no bills. Use no hooks. This side up. Freight on board. COD. FOB. MONEY. ESPN. Insisted Endive. Only from Horn Nutraceuticals. So there it is this evening. We have a $110 $110 fundraising goal, and we have a $25 challenge to get everything started, courtesy of Steve in New York, since his challenge went unnoticed a couple of nights ago. He re-upped. So the first $25 that comes in gets doubled, and that will leave us with only $60 to raise on the evening. So thank you very kindly to Steve in New York. And hopefully we'll make that, and I won't still be talking about this at 5 minutes until nine, you know, a little less than 3 hours from now. Okay? If you want to help out, run over to headonradionetwork.com, click on the tab Contribute, put in any figure you want. Mr. Soros. I know. Yes, I know. You've been, if we're to take the Republicans at their word, you've been busy pouring money into the Alabama senatorial race, and I can understand that. And if you actually were, I'd actually be kind of pleased about that. But really, Doug Jones only raised $9 million last quarter, so I'm guessing you probably haven't. But Mr. Soros, gosh darn it, we sure could use your help. I mean, among other things, and I know this is terribly selfish of me, I'd like to have health insurance. Yeah, really. But anything helps, you know, just in that little box there at headonradionetwork.com, the Contribute tab, just put a one, Mr. Soros, and then just put your finger down on the zero and let it ride there for a while, okay? That'd be lovely. And then click the box that says, make this a recurring monthly donation, Mr. Soros. Boy, that'd be fun. That'd be something. But I know a lot of people that still haven't gotten their George Soros money check. And so it's not like we're lonely. On the other hand, us ordinary folks, just, you know, us chickens out there, you know, we're trying to find 400 people at $10 a pop. We don't have anywhere near it. If we did, for instance, we wouldn't have a fund. I wouldn't be talking about fundraising right now. So new subscribers are always welcome, because here and there, you know, people's cards fail and the subscriptions fall off and things like that. Oh golly! If you'd like to help out on this, the seventh day of the month, your subscription will come out on the seventh of the month. Then just put $10 in there. Click, make this a recurring monthly donation, and ta-da. If you would rather see it come out on the first of the month, then run over to Patreon, patreon.com/BobKincaid, and put in a sign up that way, if you hate PayPal and everything. So there we go. Okay. And as it stands, like I said, $110 to go this evening with a $25 challenge on the table. Okay, thank you, Marty. 5x5 on the HQ MP3 stream. That's awesome to know, and hopefully it'll stay that way for a little bit. Now, let's begin, as we did last night, with a note from Ron in Raleigh. What I Want to Happen by Ron in Raleigh. Earther asking, by the way, won't insisted, E-N-C-Y-S-T-E-D, won't insisted endive make my obsessive compulsive personality worsen? No, but it may make your obsessive compulsive personality have cysts. I mean, we really don't know. This stuff isn't exactly tested. By the way, if you do pick up if you do sign up for a 3-month supply on a recurring basis at the low Horn nutraceutical price of only $105.52, well, we'll send a bundle of test strips along so that you can know what we know here at Horn Nutraceuticals. You can use those test strips and find out that, in fact, there is absolutely no nutritional value whatsoever to insisted endive from Horn Nutraceuticals, except no substitutes. You know, I've never cared much for endive, but thanks to insisted endive from Horn Nutraceuticals, well, golly, now I get all the endive I could ever possibly want each and every day. Yes. So back to our opening correspondence. What I Want to Happen by Ron in Raleigh. Now that the holier-than-thou Democratic Senate contingent has hounded one of their best from their midst, I want a for-profit reporter to ask each of them and the women that were so damaged by Al Franken's behavior, do they feel better? Are they vindicated? There seems to be a good deal of third-wave feminist misandry afoot. How many more men are going to be summarily dismissed without recourse? I don't know how much recourse there is, but just before airtime I was reading that good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, whatever, Republican Trent Franks of Arizona is going to announce he's a-quitting. No reason given, but there were, in the article at Roll Call that I read, there was a reference to possible inappropriate behavior. Going back to 2012. Trent Franks made his fortune in the oil business. No surprise. Then he founded a right-wing think tank and parlayed that into a trip to the House of Representatives, at which point he apparently had a difficult time, behaving himself. But with regard to what Ron has to say, well, you know, it happened. I sat there watching today. Oh, and by the way, I've been reminded on Facebook, of course, that Al Franken was insufficiently ideologically pure. I, of course, knew this. But I guess it bears reminding. Because I guess whoever the person is who's going to replace Al Franken will come into office just chock-a-block with ideological purity. Man, we ought to start making ideological purity capsules at Horn Nutraceuticals. We could make a fortune. No, that won't happen anyway. No, it won't. But Al Franken stood on the floor of the Senate today and gave his resignation speech. And by God, as resignation speeches go, it was a dandy. It didn't have overtones of climbing into a warm tub with a sharp razor. It had overtones of not being particularly guilty. I think that's the word I'm looking for. He continued to maintain his innocence and said that he had never done anything in the Senate that could bring dishonor to the Senate. He also said he flat out denied some charges, and that he certainly remembered others differently than they were being presented. But, see, Minnesota has a Democratic governor. I mean, here's how the thinking goes. Oh, and by the way, I'll just say this, if I didn't already, maybe I did. It all runs together after a while. In his resignation speech, Senator Franken referenced the fact. He said, "I am." "I am probably more aware than almost anybody else of the irony involved in the fact that I'm resigning when we've got a serial sexual assaulter sitting in the White House who's admitted it on tape, and a child sex predator running for Senate from Alabama." So, if you haven't seen it, I'm not gonna take up the broadcast time rerunning it, but it's worth listening to. But in a way, Franken was a victim of his own state's politics. Yes, I said victim. Because Minnesota has a Democratic governor. And with him stepping down, that means, oh, by the way, speaking of irony, it was incredibly ironic to watch a bunch of, because I sat down last night and I checked. I checked Kirsten Gillibrand's religion. I checked Kamala Harris's religion. I checked Claire McCaskill's religion. I checked Debbie Stabenow's religion. I checked it all. I also checked Sherrod Brown and Bob Casey and Joe Donnelly. I even checked Maisie Hirono to make sure that she was the Buddhist I thought she was. But the fact of the matter is, there is a great jumping load of irony in having a couple of Christian women with deep and abiding and profound and merciless presidential ambitions crucify a Jew at Christmas time. Well, that's a thought, Arthur. Arthur says, maybe you can make a product that cures stick-up-the-butt liberalism. Stick-up-the-butt liberal is a term Stephanie Miller has for overly pure or concerned troll liberals. Okay, that's interesting. I don't know. I don't want to listen to her, so I don't have any way to listen to her. Not like we got radio stations that run her around here. But what'll happen now is, because Minnesota has a Democratic governor, that made it safe to hound Al Franken out of office. This was very much a coordinated thing. Yesterday, about 3 p.m., progressive hero Keith Ellison, who has fallen significantly in my estimation, well, he decided to jump in and make sure that he got a shiv in between Al's ribs too, calling for his resignation. At that point in time, I put him at even money to be named the replacement. But the conventional wisdom says otherwise. There's a woman named Tina. Can't remember her last name, who is the lieutenant governor of Minnesota, And she has said in the past that she has no interest in running for either the House of Representatives or Senate. So the wisdom goes that Mark Dayton, the governor of Minnesota, will appoint her to fill out Al Franken's unexpired term, which will then, you know, he wasn't up for re-election until 2020, but now, because he's been hounded out of office, well, they will have to have a special election in 2018. So, in a senatorial election season, when it was going, when Democrats were going to hang on to 23 plus two independents, seats in order to just remain where they are, now it's 24 plus, or 24 plus two, because now, since Tina, whoever she is, doesn't want to run for that Senate seat because she knows that, well, in the long run, this was a dirty piece of business, and the political career of anybody who accepts that appointment's pretty much over. So instead, in 2018, there'll be a primary process. 2018, not that far away, is it? There'll be a no, that's a different Tina, Anatole. Anyway, she's going to, she won't run, and there'll be a primary process, which will be a free-for-all. And guess who else gets to run in a primary process to run for that seat? That's right, the Republicans. The Republicans who don't give a good goddamn about the ideological purity of the Democratic Party. Yeah, I know. How about that? So what they'll do is they'll find some well-heeled, well-financed, well-off candidate acceptable to Minnesotans, and they will run hard for that seat in 2018. Because, man, remember, this is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and for every thorn in the side, there's a feather in the cap. What a feather in the cap that will be for the Republican Party to get the Democrats to do their dirty work and hound Al Franken out of office so that they, the Republicans, can then run and win Al Franken's old Senate seat and get back to the business of screwing Minnesotans and people all over the country. Isn't that special? Gosh, thanks, Senator Gillibrand. Thanks, Senator Harris. How can we ever repay you? What? Oh, by voting for one of you for president? Don't think so. So there you have it. On some night in November 2018... we will find out that Al Franken's Senate seat has been taken by a member of the Republican Party, making it all the harder for the Democrats to do much. You know, at one point in time, I was actually pretending that there was a chance that Democrats could draw even. Not now. Not anymore. Because I suspect there are more than a few people, more than a few Democrat, you know, Democrat Farm Labor Party is what they call it in Minnesota. I suspect there are more than a few people in Minnesota who are members of the DFL who are more than a little bit disgusted with the fact that a senator from California and a senator from New York led a coup led a mob, let's face it, to run Al Franken out of office. Now, on the other hand, the sparkle fart powered the Purity Brigade. I get the idea. They're pretty tickled about all of this because they can see a great glorious morning where their hero, Keith Ellison, who used to be a hero to me, but is no longer, will somehow get that seat. But no, that's not going to happen. Whoever runs as the Democratic nominee for that seat is going to get beat. Plain and simple. Honestly, I would like to be wrong. Honestly, I hope I am wrong. But I've got pretty good instincts for this kind of thing, or seem to have. I've been developing a track record. And so, consequently, don't be surprised when it turns out that that Minnesota has a Republican senator by this time next year who will then take office and be part of the Republican majority that will come into office in the new Congress of 2018, because they will. Man, that's depressing, isn't it? Well, yeah, it is. I wish it wasn't. I wish it was different. But this is the reality. Meanwhile, Roy Moore is sailing right along in Alabama. Blake Farenthold is still a member of the House of Representatives with an available, reliable vote for any time that Paul Ryan needs it. And Paul Ryan hasn't said a God-blessed word about wanting Blake Farenthold to go. Of course, neither have the purity minods, Harris and Gillibrand and the bunch. That's not for them to do. You know, they only hound other Democrats out of office. They haven't stomped over to Blake Farenthold's office and given him a stern talking to yet. Oh, no. And if anybody is silly enough to think that there was any sincerity whatsoever in the actions of Gillibrand and Harris, I got a bridge I'd like to sell you. Like I said before, it's going to be real interesting when it comes time for those two to go up against each other in 2020 in the presidential election. And then, because, you know what? The shivs that they used on Al Franken, they will then use on each other. Absolutely. It would be fitting. Well, no, I'm not going to say that. That sounds vindictive. So I'm not going to say it. Although I will say this. Did you know that when she first came to national attention that she was from like Hogwaller, New York, and had a 100% rating from the National Rifle Association? Ooh-wee! Once upon a time, Kirsten Gillibrand loved her some shooting guns. Yes, she did. What'll happen? Well, let's see. Kirsten will probably hammer on Kamala over Kamala's less than eager examination of the screwing that Steve Mnuchin put on people. And Kamala will then hammer on... Cassius will hammer Brutus, and then Brutus will hammer Cassius over the NRA stuff. Note coming from Arnold. As far as tonight, I cannot believe that the Democrats pushed out one of their own. It's almost as if they're choosing to fail when Democrats try to be Republicans. They always fail. Yeah, I know. Ron and Raleigh says Tina Smith in Minnesota. Okay, thank you. as and a note coming in from Scott and Punky. As Mark Twain once noted, always do right. It will gratify some and astonish the rest. Twain apparently did not anticipate the GOP of 2017. It's wonderful to do right and do it always, and yes, some will be gratified and others will be astonished, but what's the goddamn point of doing right if it has no discernible effect upon the attitudes and actions of those who steadfastly avoid doing right? Case in point, Senator Al Franken's announcement Thursday of his intention to resign. What good is accomplished for the Democrats to take the high road when the GOP not only won't emulate a good example, but will openly mock and scoff at what they see as weak and foolish, not to mention take full advantage of it politically? Well, you've got that going for you. Because it's true. High road, schmy road. The Republican Party takes the power road. And you know how this is supposed to be such a big game changer for the women's vote? Guess what? Not that I want to, you know, countersink this whole issue or anything, but 53% of white women voted for Donald Trump in November 2016, even after they had been bombarded with the Access Hollywood tape in which he bragged about committing sexual assault. And 53% of white women said, "That's the kind of guy I want for president." 53% of white women. 53% of white women who were Democrats. 53% of white women who were Republicans. 53% of the women, white women voting in this country, regardless of party, voted for Donald Trump, even after they knew he was a serial sexual abuser and assaulter, a serial sex criminal. They voted for it. So you'll pardon me. You'll pardon me if I don't put a lot of faith in what an earth-shaking, ground-moving event hounding Franken out of the Senate was. No, just no. So that leaves us with a question, you know, what do you do? Apparently, I'm not the only one asking the question. I got a note here from Larry. Sorry about the microphone noise there. After some deep soul searching last night, I decided to remain a Democrat, but I'm severely pissed still and will not even in the main election vote for a ticket that includes Harris or Gillibrand until they start calling every day for Trump to resign. And why are they not using their time to focus on helping Doug Jones? We go high, they go low. Bullshit. Well, no, we do. We go high, they go low, and they fucking kneecap us, okay? That's what going low is about. Achieving an advantage. As a buddy of mine used to describe it, cut them off at the knees and whip their ass for being short. And that's what they'll do. We go high, they go low. Bullshit, we need to go for at least the midsection. When they go low, I'm so pissed off at our party that I'm foaming at the mouth. We always fuck ourselves. When, oh, when will they learn, or when will we learn? Now, let's see. Darlene in Connecticut where they don't pronounce the C, but I do, with a note. It says, I was so impressed with your take on what happened in the Senate leading to Al Franken's resignation that in my fury, I wrote this to Kamala Harris in response to her asking me to donate to the Doug Jones campaign, ironically enough. I immediately unsubscribed to her email list. Darlene wrote the following, I am extremely disappointed that you, Gillibrand, and Klobuchar pressured Al Franken to resign before the Senate Ethics Committee had the opportunity to hear, investigate, and evaluate the first claim that started the stream of suspicious sexual harassment allegations against him. Once Tweeden, a conservative and a Republican, realized that she might be called to testify under oath before the Senate, she nervously began backing down on her claims and even stated that she would not want Franken to resign his Senate seat. Franken was never given the opportunity to tell his recollection of what happened on that trip. Furthermore, Roger Stone was behind Tweeden coming forward as he infamously predicted that it was Al Franken's time in the barrel. That alone should have given the three of you some pause. Also, you, Gillibrand, and Klobuchar didn't seem to care that 36 former SNL female colleagues of Al Franken issued a strongly worded statement in his favor and attested to his professional behavior around them. Franken was hands down the best senator and best progressive senator in that body, and he will be irreplaceable. The three of you should have had hard evidence from the Ethics Committee that his accuser was telling the truth before doing what you did. Republicans would never, ever throw one of their own under the bus like that. Your Republican colleagues are laughing at all of you because you played right into their hands. The leader of their party squatting in the White House masquerading as president bragged on tape that he commits sexual assault on a regular basis, and Alabama may very well elect a pedophile, child rapist, child molester to the Senate. Both these criminals have the full support of the GOP. Yet to have equated Al Franken with either of those two pathetic individuals was an outrage, absolutely wrong-headed and uncalled for. It was a terrible sleight of hand, a red herring, if you will, to justify you sacrificing a fellow Democrat who has served this country in the Senate well. It is my opinion that what you and Gillibrand did here was cynical at best, because you both have aspirations for presidential office in 2020 and beyond, so you needed to get Franken out of the way. Let's be clear, neither one of you will garner my support in future primaries toward a presidential run. By the way, what are the three of you going to do if Roy Moore is elected to the Senate? Not speak to him? Big deal. Call for his resignation? Ain't happening. Your actions in forcing Franken to resign have reshaped the Senate and given McConnell more power. Perfect timing. It's self-sabotage, if you ask me. If you think this will bode well for the Democrats in 2018, think again. All will be forgotten by then. Democrats are adept at shooting themselves in the foot, as the saying goes. Chalk up this pathetic stunt as another example. Also, you, Gillibrand, and Klobuchar disenfranchised the voters of Minnesota. Republicans are going out of their way to enable Alabamians to elect a pedophile to the Senate, but the three of you felt that you had the right to tell Minnesotans who their senator should be. Not your place. You've done more damage than you realize, and I will be unsubscribing to your email list. And what was the message that came with it?
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If you vote for people to lose their health care to pay for tax cuts to the top 1%, then you need to lose your job.
Well, Al Franken didn't do that.
That's the message we need to send to the Republicans if we're going to defeat their immoral tax plan. Let's start in Alabama. Donate $3 today to support Doug Jones, a man of integrity running against a Trump clone named Roy Moore in a special election to fill Jeff Sessions' vacated seat in the Senate. A win in this race would send shockwaves throughout the Republican establishment and put Democrats a step closer to taking back Congress in 2018 and 2020. Time out.
Whoa! Oh, whoa! Whoa! Tell another good one. Yeah. Thanks, Darlene. Somebody read it. I'm sure Kamala didn't. She's far, far too busy for that sort of thing. Remember, Cassius has a lean and hungry look. By the way, from Brother Deacon Asa, regarding 53% of women's, with what has come to light recently, namely the "God bless the United States" speech by the pernicious pumpkin yesterday, we now know that the Fuhrer wears dentures. Maybe the 53% of women who voted for him did so because he gives good gum? Just thinking out loud, oh my God, no. Why do you want to do something like that for my beautiful mind? Too soon? Yeah, it's always too soon. Now, Laurel says, I would give a left kidney to be an Alabama citizen and vote for Doug Jones next week. Of course, now I need to give the right kidney just to keep Al in the Senate here. Hell of a quandary here. If we don't embrace Machiavelli now, we're dead. Oh, no, we can't. No, we couldn't do that. Why? How could we ever face ourselves or face each other while we're singing Kumbaya? Laborman, who very carefully got around the gimmick infringement. Gotta love us some purity, subject line. But, Bob, Conyers gone, old Al gone, served up so we can win big next election, because we are pure. That should get us about 6 or 7 more votes of the peeps, huh? You probably know, you know, labor man, you know. Earther says, yes, Dems are somehow capable of being irritatingly ineffectual. Hence my beaten spouse comparison. But that's why I don't beat on them too much, because you can't beat a beaten spouse into being self-confident and assertive. Walking a pretty fine line there, Earther. Okay, this one's on you, Brother Deacon Asa. You got Steve in the chat room screaming for eye bleach. That was some weird-ass audio, though. You heard it, though, right? I mean, let me see if it precisely, Earther. For that, you get a cowbell. We're as pure as the driven snow, and now the Republicans can pee on us. Yeah. The White House blamed it on dry mouth, what you're about to hear. And all over the internet, they said, well, you know, his dentures are slipping. Bullshit. If you listen to this program, you know what was going on. The spirochetes were on the swing set, and the swing set was apparently over there by the speech center of his brain. Here we go. Judge for yourself.
We've reserved the uncomfortable moment.
Yeah. Shut up. All right.
Possible and possibilities. And finally, I ask the leaders of the region, political and religious, Israeli and Palestinian, Jewish and Christian and Muslim.
See, you can hear it starting. Just a little bit. Jewish and Christian, Muslim. Muslim, M-U-Z-H-L-I-M. Muslim. It's beginning there.
To join us in the noble quest for lasting peace. Thank you. God bless you. God bless Israel. God bless the Palestinians. And God bless the United States. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Now imagine that. The White House can't admit the man wears dentures. Now imagine another step further. He's a billionaire, right? A billionaire who wears dentures. Not a billionaire with implants. A billionaire with dentures. I mean, I know he's got Scottish heritage, and that means he's cheap and everything. I understand. I've got Scottish heritage, too. And, yep, be pretty cheap. Oh, God, now I'll get emails about it.
Well, that's an unfair stereotype, Bob.
I am one. At least partially. But a billionaire who was on TV... You know, I didn't even realize that The Apprentice was on TV for 14 seasons. Like 7 years or something. And I kid you not, I never saw so much as a single episode or a portion thereof. The only part of The Apprentice that I ever saw was a clip of him going, "You're fired." And it's, wow, what a stupid premise for a television show. But then again, I felt that way about Dancing with Survivors, too. And Who Wants to Marry an American with Talent? And The Bachelorette Can Sing. And all of the other idiotic so-called reality television. God bless the United States of America. I think it's a lot more likely that the spirochetes were on the swing set than that he had a, what would we call it, a denture malfunction? Oh, thank you, Steve. Steve from Georgia Stan. Stop telling us how to stereotype, Bob. That was good. That was good. Scott and Punky. Note, if there's a silver lining here, it may be found in the fact that Franken's leaving the Senate will allow him to be more freely outspoken out of the office than he would have been in office. No, I disagree with you, Scott, because by virtue of hounding him from office the way they have made sure that any time that he tries to speak up, there will be somebody there to say, "What about poor Leanne Tweeden? What about those poor women whose waists he touched? You know, the ones who were anonymous. The ones whose credibility was never verified." Oh, by the way, it took about 48 hours, but I finally got accused of misogyny today. Yeah. Now, I've made it abundantly clear that the problem here lies in the fact that not only was there no due process, there was no process. Al Franken's accusers were not even subjected to the same sort of vetting that Roy Moore's were. Now, bear in mind, the Washington Post, knowing who they were going after, vetted those accusers very, very carefully, if for no other reason than the legal department would never have let them hit print if they hadn't. Because you screw up like this, and the next thing you know, you got an umpty bajillion dollar lawsuit on your hands. Oh, well, okay, that's a possibility, too. I hadn't considered. Brother Deacon Asa says, "Dry mouth my ass." He's holding back those alien tentacles from busting out of his cake hole. Yeah. Like I said, I never thought about that. But the Washington Post had ample motive to make sure that they had that story nailed down tight. Because, among other things, the guy who helped take down Gawker, you know, with that tape, that Hulk Hogan tape that Hulk Hogan gave to Bubba the Love Sponge, that Bubba the Love Sponge then published and got sued for, right? Even though Hulk Hogan had seriously unclean hands in the process. Well, that fucker's a trumpanzee. And he would love nothing more than to nail the Washington Post's pelt to his door. All right? So by definition, the vetting of the accusers of Roy Moore was pretty intense. There was no such vetting for Leanne Tweeden, who started backpedaling for all she was worth. And today, on the news of Al Franken's resignation, began soft-soaping.
Oh, golly, I never meant for him to resign. I didn't want him to resign. Goodness gosh, oh, gee, mercy sakes alive. Oh, I can't imagine. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Not. Because there's one other factor out here, namely Tom Arnold, who apparently knows the folks over at KABC, where Lauren Tweeden works, who, in a tweet named, by name, can't recall it offhand, a guy who is a bosom buddy of Roger Stone, and Tom Arnold stated that that person coached Leanne Tweeden for weeks on how to make the sexual impropriety allegation against Al Franken. Yeah? Yeah. But nobody ever got a chance to judge her credibility, or the anonymous accuser's credibility, or anybody's credibility. Instead, he got hounded out of office. I was particularly taken by the idea of Chuck Schumer going to his apartment and saying, "Al, you gotta go. You just gotta go. You want to take a bath?" It's like something out of Pink Floyd. "Oh my God, are all these your guitars? You want to take a bath? Go get in a nice warm bath, Al. Here, I'll bring the razor." I don't know about you, but let's apply the blind alley standard to Kirsten Gillibrand or Kamala Harris or Claire McCaskill or Mazie Hirono or Chuck Schumer or Sherrod Brown or Joe Donnelly or Bob Casey and all the rest. Would you want any of those people at your back in a dark alley? Because no. Not me. Let's see. Keith, with a note, says, "Bob, it's past time for the liberals, Democrats, progressives, or whatever name you want to call it, need to wake up and realize it's time to play the game. I don't know if we've forgotten how to play, or did we ever know?" Oh, yeah, we used to know. We damn sure used to know. And we played it hard. And we played it well. But that was generations back. "The Republicans continuously are ripping us apart, and we just sit there and think it's going to change. It is past time that we got down and rolled in the mud with them and played the game just as dirty as they do. If we let this continue, we'll see history repeat. This is really taking its toll on this country, and the rest of the world is laughing. I hate being laughed at. Thanks, Bob," says Keith. Oh, my goodness. Let's run over and check in. Let's go over and check in with Carol Baker. Maybe I'm wrong about all of this. Carol, am I wrong about all this?
I wish I could say you were wrong about all this.
I'm not wrong about all this.
No, because as I
said, come on out on the ledge. You want a cigarette?
Oh, she's lit.
Okay, so, no, you were saying when I so rudely interrupted?
No, I said on my Facebook page, all crimes are not of equal status. And I don't give a fuck what anybody says about that either. They can call me whatever they want. Because I think we have to beware of the holier-than-thou, off-with-their-heads mob mentality that's been going on. Different degrees require different consequences. Bill Clinton's blowjob with a consenting adult does not equal statutory Roy Moore's predilection for prepubescent girls. Al Franken's setup photo does not equal Donald Trump walking into a room full of teenage girls in every straight state of dress or undress. And Al Franken should have had the courtesy of having the ethics committee investigate him and be censured if they felt necessary, because I think we lost another liberal lion in the fight against fascism.
We damn sure did. And so, I mean, can you help me here, Carol? What benefit did it serve this modern day Brutus and Cassius, Kamala? You know, if there'd just been one more senator whose first name started with a K, it really the goddess of irony would have really parked one in the cheap seats. But
Claire McCaskill had to run her mouth about it too.
But Kamala and Kirsten, those are the ones with the presidential ambitions. Cui bono? Who benefits?
Well, they just believe that they're part of this purity brigade that believes that because we've shown everybody how we handle our own, then it's going to look so good for us next year and 2 years after that. And I'm here to tell you, we're talking about people with the shortest memories in the history of the planet. They won't give a shit. They won't remember, because none of that institutional memory will make a goddamn bit of difference when you talk about the amount of money that's going to get poured into these campaigns.
A few billion dollars in Citizens United money will make a whole lot of people forget a whole lot of stuff, won't it?
It absolutely does. And I had somebody say, well, I have to look at the Franken situation entirely in isolation. I won't compare it to anyone. He was accused of eight women of sexually inappropriate behavior, and that's over the line for me. And it's heartwarming for me to say that I named my company after the city where Paul Wellstone's plane crashed. I followed Al's career since he's been in Wellstone's seat. He's been a tremendous advocate for everything I hold dear, but eight women, that's just the ones that have come forward. I personally believe his behavior is unacceptable, and he does not belong in the United States Senate, and it has nothing to do with anyone else. He did this, he has to pay the price. And my response to that was the original accuser was friends with Roger Stone and the gang at Breitbart, really close with Hannity. She was coached. And I'm not saying that he did nothing wrong, but I never said that. But this all crimes are equal shit is shit.
Well,
and
you
look at it in isolation.
You raise another issue, Carol. You say that, you know, I won't say that he did nothing wrong. How can we say he did anything or didn't do anything? There was no goddamned inquiry.
I can't defend him either. I mean, I can't defend it. I can't accuse him. I can't anything, which means nothing. It means nothing. And I don't have to look at it in isolation. And all of the accused should be shown the door. But you know what the problem with that is? Democrats are shown the exit, while Republicans, who do 10 times worse things than that, are given ticker tape parades through the fucking entrance.
Oh, but golly gee, we know we're so much better than them, don't we,
oh,
Carol?
Fuck that.
Thank you. I mean, I really do thank you, because it has been beneficial for me in the course of the or not for me, but to me. Because, you know, I think a lot about things like white privilege and male privilege, and I think about things before I say them. I try not just to, you know, run off at the mouth. And,
oh hell, I'm good at running off at the mouth.
But as a man, I want to be cognizant of the issue and the problems, and I don't want to come off like some you know, cranky-ass right-wing pig sitting around in a lazy boy in his boxer shirts hollering, get me a sandwich, you know, like the T-shirt that Ralph Shorty was wearing when he got busted for, you know, having sexy time with a 17-year-old boy at the Super 8 in Oklahoma.
With the scripture written on his shirt.
Yeah, Ephesians. Wives, submit unto your husbands. I looked it up. Ephesians 5:22.
Now make me a sandwich.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't want to be that, but damned if this looks like anything respectable.
Bob, I think I have a unique perspective. Number one, I have been sexually harassed. You know, no woman of my age who's worked in the corporate world has escaped this. And I have been in rooms with men who had power over me, who made inappropriate suggestions and did inappropriate things. And I understand the powerlessness of that. But if you're standing and taking a photo with someone and you're saying they grabbed your ass or cupped your breast, what in the hell is wrong with you not turning around and look at them going, what do you think you're doing, some bitch?
Okay, so that crossed my mind. Maybe you don't do it because it's a U.S. senator.
Want to bet?
Well, okay. You're probably not going to believe me, but I assure you it's true. You know what I was thinking about the other day? The story you told about Chuck Grassley when you went to Girls State. and what was it he did? He just reached over and started eating off of your plate?
Mm-hmm. It belched. I finally just gave up and shoved the plate in front of him. I thought, fucker, if you're so goddamn hungry, have it. He's a pig.
But you didn't just sit there, you know, you shoved the plate at him.
And I was 17 years old.
You responded. So are all these other accusers just mice?
Are they
terrified? There's going to be some, because, you know, they knew who he was. He didn't know who they was. But were they afraid of the tremendous repercussions that would follow by saying, get your hands off my ass, bub.
Exactly. And Bob, here's the thing, is I am the only woman who works in an environment with all men. Okay? Now, I confess that in order for me to get along, in order for me to make things go smoother, I have to be one of the boys, which means that I say and do things that I would not do in a normal setting in the corporate world. And I will tell you too that these guys have the latitude to say and do things around me that I wouldn't tolerate from other people. It also means that I know I don't have the right to get pissed at them for one thing and then hold that against them when I've allowed the atmosphere to exist. And I think that that's a far cry between what goes on in the confines of my office than what went on in the confines of other offices where I was called into the boss and was spoken to and touched inappropriately. And I really knew that if I said or did anything, that I wouldn't have a job. And at the time, I couldn't afford not to have a job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh no, I do. I mean, I've never been directly in that position, vis-a-vis power, mainly because I'm a guy. But I know damned well it happens, and I know how men behave, especially when they think that they, you know, that nobody's watching. I know the not so much behave. But I know the language they use, and I well remember the scene from Cool Hand Luke. I don't want to see anybody playing grab ass. I see anybody playing grab ass. Time in the box.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know that's not entirely fiction. I mean, there was a reason that little Southern mamas, and probably mamas all over the country, okay, I'm just talking about my experience. You know, what you teach your little boy as he heads off to school is, son, keep your hands to yourself. I mean, it's simple enough. Keep your hands to yourself. That's five words.
Yeah.
But God knows, and I heard it all through. Johnny, keep your hands to yourself. And you know what? Some of this sort of learned behavior it starts that far back. You know, tormenting little girls on the playground. I'm not denying that this shit exists, not by any stretch of the imagination. But when it's something as serious as this, do we not even want to know if it's real?
Oh, but it's all the same. We have to believe all of the women all of the time, even though, and look,
what happens when it turns into the children's hour?
Well,
you know that movie, that play.
Again, we're talking about an entirely different issue. No one accused Al Franken of any inappropriate behavior with a child. And some of the shit that he did was while he was a comedian.
No. What I mean by the children's hour, there was a very compelling play and movie of the 1950s, early 1960s.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Where the allegations of a bunch of school children about adult behavior between two women, it's not on point anymore because we don't lose our minds over that. But it's the idea. Okay, how about the Crucible?
Yeah.
Okay. How about the Salem witch trials? Mm-hmm. And by the way, that was not a single gender. Mind losing. Giles Corey was pressed to death, and his last words were, "More weight." Now he was an asshole, but still, what I'm getting at is that. Well, okay, let me see if I can come around from a different direction. If you're charged with DUI,
mm-hmm.
there's a criminal proceeding in which you have a right to be proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where all the, you know, that's where all the, you know, walk and turn and blow in the thingamajig and comes in. But where your driver's license is concerned, there's a separate administrative proceeding. And it is absolutely insulated from the criminal proceeding. And in that administrative proceeding, you have a right to challenge things, maybe not necessarily your guilt, if you've already been found guilty, but you can challenge whether everything was done according to Hoyle.
Sure.
What was the motive for making sure that Al Franken couldn't even make sure that the charges themselves were legitimate? I mean, does it just boil down to a cynical political calculation that somehow or another the Democrats think that they're going to take the Senate back
on this
issue? Are they that stupid?
I think it was just that simple.
And so you think they're just that stupid, right?
Yes, I do. They're Democrats, Bob.
Sadly, yeah. And on top of it all, I think, because it was a heartbreaking speech watching him fall on his sword.
It was.
You know,
and the New York Times found it grossly unapologetic.
Oh, I know. I saw some of that shit, too. I saw somebody say, well, I was shocked that he evinced no remorse. How do you evince remorse for something you didn't goddamn do?
I don't know.
I mean, that's the eternal conundrum of the parolee. You know, you get tried and convicted, you get sent to the joint, and you come up for a parole hearing, and they say, well, do you have remorse for your actions? And you say, I can't, because I didn't do it. And they say, okay, another 5 years for you. You're not remorseful.
Yep.
And I really do. I see this blowing up in their faces.
It's going to.
I mean, I don't know who's going to run for president in 2020. And this is the tough part. I was actually looking pretty favorably at Kirsten Gillibrand.
So was I.
I was thinking, okay, if she runs, maybe, you know, because she had a good record. She had opposed every Trump nomination. She was one of the few who did, if maybe the only.
She has no balls. Sorry.
But now, no. I don't care if every Democrat in America decides that she or Kamala Harris are who they want to be their standard bearer. I will find somebody who doesn't shiv people in the ribs.
Exactly.
Because there's one more step to this, and that is that the American people, I was about to say aren't stupid, but I can't say that.
Yeah, they are.
But they are at least, you know, a certain segment of them voted for Donald Trump because they thought he'd fight for them. It was, of course, a goddamn lie.
Yeah.
And 3 million more people than voted for Trump voted for Hillary because they thought she'd fight for them.
Yeah.
Why would you vote for anybody that has a record of being a betrayer? I mean, this is made this. Maybe I'm ascribing too much to this issue. Maybe I'm wearing it out because, you know, there is other stuff out there. But I just don't see the American people rewarding Democrats who fight with one foot in a bucket anyway because of Citizens United for showing no interest whatsoever in having a determinative process to see if the people charging someone are actually telling the truth.
I think Minnesota Governor Dayton should wait until next week to sort this out, making it clear that if Alabama chooses to drastically lower the bar, then Franken's going right back.
And that's another thing. Who are these senators to decide who can be senator from Minnesota?
Yeah. Oh, but you can't decide who's going to be the senator from Alabama.
Right. And I guess I'm still trying to figure out how they're going to deal with Roy Moore if he gets elected. I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Well, they're not going to talk to him.
Really? Oh, that'll be terrible for old Roy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit, but there's not one of them young enough for him to want to talk to.
Amen. Hey, Al Franken didn't fall on his sword for the party. He was pushed.
Yeah, it's interesting. The entry wound's in his back.
Yeah.
And out of it all, I think the thing that pissed me off the most was the skeevy, slimy, shitty little tweet that Junior sent out.
Oh, that little fucker.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
And that little bastard had the nerve. I mean, I saw some guy, some talking head, some expert today say, well, you know what Donald Trump Jr. did yesterday in that closed hearing? Well, there's a complicated legal term for it called chutzpah.
Or as Michelle Bachmann called it, chutzpah.
Chutzpah, absolutely. Molotov, y'all.
Yeah.
Scott Walker. Fagoots. that's a blast from the past. But seriously, he sat in there and claimed attorney. I mean, this was one of those things that made me, because I got a passing familiarity with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually sat in there in a room with lawyers in it and claimed that he had attorney-client privilege to not tell them what he and his dad said because there was a lawyer in the room.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that.
I mean, isn't that like me or you saying that we're Jesus Christ because there was a priest in the room?
Why not? Why not? Oh, and then he posted an Instagram photo of, he goes, "This is my ride," because that's how we roll. And it was a picture of the Trump helicopter.
Oh, that little bastard. But the worst part of it is if we had a responsible Congress, and as Bart Kopp used to say, why do I even go on after that? But yeah, because of who the majority is in the House, this was a House affair yesterday, there was nobody that was willing to say, "Bub, either answer the question or we're going to move in contempt of Congress against you."
Amen.
I mean, these things matter. And that's the big picture within all of this, that this country, as you and I have noted since a long time now, this country is in crisis.
Yes, it is.
God only knows what goes down with North Korea. And now, as of today, the Middle East is catching fire again.
Sure. No, the Middle East isn't catching fire. It was set on fire.
Well, okay, thank you. Yes, this was an arson job.
Indeed.
And the stories come out that, you know, who's surprised? Well, you know, Trump didn't really understand the whole complicated Middle East issue. He just wanted to make a deal, and he wanted to show that he was a friend to Israel, and he wanted to let the evangelicals know that he was on their side.
He's playing to his tiny little base, giving them every Christmas little present he promised them on the campaign trail, and fuck the consequences, because this gets his base hard.
That's pretty disgusting. Luckily, I have an empty stomach.
But am I lying?
No, it's true. It's damned well true.
Since we're talking about sexual predators, how come nobody's saying anything about Trump? Why is Blake Fahrenholz still in the House?
Why was Joe Barton allowed to say, "Well, I just won't retire. I'll just retire at the end of my term"? No, fucker. We saw the picture.
That's right. You mean he'll resign at the end of his term the way Orrin Hatch is going to resign at the end of his term? Because I don't believe that's going to happen.
I kind of got my doubts, too. I mean, the truth ain't in him. But there's, you know, if there was anything resembling a level playing field, maybe I'd be okay with this. But there isn't, Carol. There just isn't. But Trent Franks is going to quit. My God, how bad must he have gotten caught that he's going to quit?
Yeah, because no questions will be asked. He has two female staffers if they want to be surrogates for his children.
Is that it? I mean,
that's what it was.
Because all I saw was that inappropriate behavior was being cited shortly before airtime.
Oh, no. You know I went after that one.
Host mommies?
Yep.
That's his pickup. That's his pickup line?
That's the pickup line.
You're fertile, aren't you? Hey, you want to be a host mommy? Let me put a baby in you.
Do we just want to practice?
You might have to do that several times. You know, Al Franken had to practice that kiss backstage. We're going to have to practice this a whole lot. Oh, God.
Well,
damn.
Republicans think that ass grabbing is outrageous, but pussy grabbing conforms to the very highest standards of official conduct.
Absolutely. And by the way, have you gotten your invitation to the big rally to be led by Gillibrand and Harris outside Clarence Thomas's house? Because, you know, he was curiously, the name Clarence Thomas was curiously absent during all the breathless coverage today. But except I can't get it out of my head. When's the Me Too movement going to show up in front of his house about, say, 20,000 strong?
Never.
I mean, if I would, and I don't dare speak for her, I'm not trying to, but if I was Anita Hill, I'd be a little pissed off.
Yeah? You think?
You know, I'd have been pissed off for the last 25 years, but right now I'd be getting angry all over again.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. So, okay, where do we go from here?
Well, you know, the difference between the United States and other countries that are truly free is on the floor of the Australian House of Representatives, a lawmaker formally proposed to his boyfriend of 9 years. And meanwhile, on the floor of the United States Congress, the GOP formally announced its divorce from reality.
Nice. I wish... You've got a gift. You know that, Carol? You really do. I can't do that. But yeah, I saw that.
I call it a bad case of smart ass.
I saw that, and I thought, well, you know, that's just sweet.
It was. Could never happen here.
Oh, no. No, damn it, no. So then, you know, where, because I'm trying to fight the urge to behave like the Purity Brigade did.
I can't do it because if I act like them, next thing you know, we'll have shoplifters on death row right next to serial killers.
That does seem to be the standard. But I mean, because I game this stuff out into the future in my free time.
Me too.
What happens if Kirsten Gillibrand is the Democratic nominee in 2020?
She loses.
Yeah, but does she get your vote?
No. At that point, I learned last time. What's the point?
Well, that's what I'm struggling with. You know, because, you know, I supported Bernie and then I voted for Hillary. And I don't think, you know, I don't think Hillary was the devil. I think she was just a politician. And she was a politician who got a monumental smear run against her, too.
I just got a note from the Great White North.
Oh, yes?
Ron said, I think Franken got pushed out primarily because some ambitious senators have started to think there's a chance that Dems can take Congress and possibly the White House. If the chances were seen as slim for that to happen, Franken would still have a seat. They needed to take out a big target to establish their bona fides. Yeah, well, I think he's right on that, but I'm here to tell you, there is no damn way.
Oh, there's no doubt that this would not have happened if, say, he was a senator from a state with a Republican governor who could then appoint a Republican to fill the unexpired term. There is no way this happens. I mean, this was a deeply calculated move, and they admitted as much. That's why it's been so hard to avoid looking at Brutus and Cassius in the bunch. There was a lot of planning that went into that. And there was a lot of planning that went into this. Boom, tweet storm yesterday morning. Al's got to go. Al's got to go. Al's got to go.
Yep.
Al's got to go.
Yep.
So, I mean, because there's alleged progressive heroes on this. I mean, we saw, for instance, and I played it, I played the clip on the program quite approvingly of Sherrod Brown absolutely making Orrin Hatch cry like a baby. And it was a delicious moment of Orrin Hatch getting some of just a tiny little bit of what he so richly deserves. You know, the man who slimed all over Anita Hill and forced him to say, well, you know, I invented Chip, but you know what? We don't have any money for Chip after voting for a trillion-dollar deficit-busting tax cut for incredibly wealthy people. So it was, you know, there was Sherrod Brown doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And there he is yesterday going, get out of the way, ladies. I've got a shiv too.
Yeah.
I mean, Bob Casey, I'm not gonna sit here and pretend that that guy's some sort of a progressive. Joe Donnelly of Indiana, him either. You know, the only surprise for this out of me, my only big surprise was that Joe Manchin didn't run to find the first camera he could find, get in front of and say, oh, he's got, Al, I like Al, but Al's got to go. I'm surprised at that. But then again, Joe has a past. Doesn't like for people to talk about it. But, yeah, women who were not his traditional family values, wife. But, I mean, I'm.
Did you see what Roy Moore posted?
Oh no, please no. If anybody's going to tell me, let it be you.
Well, you didn't think I was going to let it go, did you?
I would hope not. I'm trying to get the little bastards to block me, but they won't.
He posted, I think they're afraid I'm going to take my Alabama values to Washington, and I can't wait.
I replied,
no, Roy, they're afraid you're going to take out your Alabama values and show them to their 14-year-old daughters.
Yeah, I saw where somebody else said, are you going to go to the mall in D.C., Roy? It's not the same kind of mall you had in Gadsden.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
God almighty. It's mm-hmm. Well, I mean, honest to God, I don't know where we go from here, because I don't know how I feel about it. I do feel like I'm going to be a while getting over it.
Well, we're going to have to wait for this to play out, and everything's going to hinge on what happens next Tuesday.
Well, there's no doubt about that. You got it. You got a crystal ball there.
Sure. My crystal ball says Roy Moore is going to win. He's going to be seated in the Senate, and nothing's going to happen to him.
Yeah, that's my prediction too. I've got the old Magic 8 ball that the screen's cracked on that always says "Answer Hazy, ask again later."
But you know something, the Republicans never learn that you got to dance with the ones that brum you. And they did this with the Tea Party, and the Tea Party caucus fucked them. And they did this with Trump, and Trump's fucking them. And they're doing this shit with Roy Moore. And Roy Moore's going to be like the town whore who shows up to the dance and dances on the table and pisses in the punch bowl. And this isn't going to go well for them. But nothing's going to happen to him.
No, that's the thing. He'll be sworn in, and Mitch McConnell will be approached, and he'll say, "Listen, the people of Alabama have spoken."
I have spoken. Yeah, I know.
These are very old allegations. There is no way of knowing whether they are true or not, and we have to go forward to complete the Republican agenda and pass these y'all tax cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be the end of it. And it really won't matter much if Kirsten Gillibrand doesn't speak to him in the Senate.
No, it really won't.
Or if Kamala Harris walks past in a huff. Or a minute and a huff. So, I mean, I don't.
Yeah, because nothing says women should be in power like getting female with somebody you don't like.
I think I understand. You were substituting female for another word.
Well, that, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, you know, I'm not kidding. I appreciate you coming out here on the ledge with me, because I don't see any good coming to this. I see a giant ass beating now coming for the Democrats in 2018.
Count on it.
So I've predicted that whoever, and I guess it's going to be Tina Smith, I don't know, the lieutenant governor of Minnesota is going to be named to fill the unexpired term because she doesn't want to run for the job. So I've predicted that the Republicans will own that seat come January 2019. Any reason? Can you make me feel better about that?
No, biggest odds are on your side on that one, buddy. Because right now the GOP is laughing at us for our stupidity. It isn't going to make people happier with the party. It's already fragmenting the party more than it was.
So is this on us then?
It's on us.
Should we have just shut up and said, there's no room in the Democratic Party for people who might have committed some sort of sexual impropriety, even if it's never been proved? Is that what we were supposed to do?
Well, that's what I've been told repeatedly we were supposed to do, because, as you know, Bob, I'm the reason we can't have nice things. But nonetheless, I'm not a hypocrite. And I also know that the women who accused Roy Moore came out with their face and their names and some proof. And they were approached by the New York Times. They did not come after him. And Al Franken's just smells of just sabotage.
You just took me to a place that I've been kind of working around the edges of. The two things that he did that I think invited this smear campaign.
One was he apologized, and the second was the picture.
No. Back up. No, it's sitting there and proving Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III to be an out-and-out perjurer in front of God and everybody. Because, see, this is the thing to consider. Al Franken is not a lawyer.
Nope.
And yet he was a better cross-examiner than anybody else on that Judiciary Committee panel.
Yes, he was.
And he made the Attorney General of the United States of America look a fool, for one, and two, made everybody understand that Sessions is a liar.
Yeah.
Now, you remember your Nixon history fairly well.
Very well.
Remember John Mitchell?
Oh, very well.
You remember John Mitchell using the awesome power of the Department of Justice to work vengeance on Nixon's enemies?
You better believe it.
Who better than the Sessions Department of Justice to go and root around and ferret out some people who might come forward and say skeevy things about Al Franken?
Wouldn't take much, would it?
I'm sorry?
Wouldn't take much, would it?
No, not much at all. And, of course, the Department of Justice has more than just that history. There's the history of what they did to Dr. King.
But, you know, 5 minutes after Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions II does anything, his answer is, I don't recall.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't remember it anyway.
No, but you don't have to remember it once you've dropped the dime. And the other thing he did, and this is even if Sessions isn't involved, the other thing he did, Franken, is that he proved Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch to be a straight-up, might-as-well-be-wearing-a-sheet-and-a-pillowcase racist.
That's true.
With the trucking case, where he ate Gorsuch's lunch over the issue of Gorsuch saying that a man should have quietly sat and frozen to death in his truck if he didn't want to be fired.
That's right.
And then Gorsuch, a couple of weeks ago, shows up at the Heritage Foundation or the Federalist Society or some such, and actually cracks jokes about that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Sessions showed up and cracked jokes about, are there any Russians in the room? And those two things are why Al Franken got the target put on him.
True.
And last night when I saw that, did you see the Tom Arnold tweets?
Yes.
Tom Arnold knows the crew at KABC where Lauren Tweeden works.
Yep.
And he knows that her colleague John something is a buddy of Roger Stone. And he and Tom Arnold says, and no equivocation, they worked with her for weeks to coach her on how to do this.
And timed it. And the timing.
Yep.
Yep. Did you read Charlie Pierce's piece in Esquire?
I did not see it.
I don't think the moral high ground exists anymore. Some thoughts on Al Franken's departure.
Well, I'll have a look at it. I was kind of waiting to see, or not waiting to see, interested to see what he would say about it. And he was pretty quiet yesterday.
He was quiet yesterday.
And you know, I can understand that, but damn it, what moral high ground? Because see, here's another thing, Carol. If you took the moral high ground and you lost everything else and you got nothing but the moral high ground left, it doesn't have much value. So these purists seem to me to have done a great deal of damage to any issue that they purportedly care about.
Yep.
The Dreamers? DACA? The tax scam?
That's right.
The Russia investigation?
Mm-hmm.
They've done inestimable harm to it. And one more thing, okay? Mm-hmm. One more thing. They have done inestimable harm to real victims of sexual harassment,
yes,
abuse, assault, and victimization. I mean, it looked like it was Time. Boom, Time Magazine names, you know, what did they call them? The truth tellers? And then, boom, this happens. Maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe the universe is a series of coincidences. I don't know.
Bob, but flat out, the moral high ground compared to the power that they wield is taking a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah, it is. And I found, let me see if I can, well, maybe I got rid of it. Wait a minute. I think I saved it there. One of my very favorite books is Robert Penn Warren's All the King's Men.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, it serves as a primer on power politics. And some of the things that Robert Penn Warren, it's fiction, of course, but it's a thinly veiled docuography of Huey Long.
Mm-hmm.
A demagogue, a man who wields absolute power in a state.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some quotes. And at one point in time, he's telling the protagonist about digging up dirt or somebody being dirty. Listen to this and see if it has any resonance for you. "Dirt's a funny thing," the boss said. "Come to think of it, there ain't a thing but dirt on this green God's globe except what's underwater, and that's dirt, too. It's dirt makes the grass grow. A diamond ain't a thing in the world but a piece of dirt that got awful hot. And God Almighty picked up a handful of dirt and blew on it and made you and me and George Washington and mankind blessed in faculty and apprehension. All depends on what you do with the dirt. That right?" So that's sort of a commentary, I think, on the nature of this current obsession with ideological purity. You got to work with what you got. The Republicans are filthy as hell. But,
yeah.
you know what? They're filthy as hell, and they've got power. And
yes.
While they've got power, they're going to use it relentlessly, remorselessly.
And as a Democrat, you don't throw one of your own overboard in order to have the moral standing to oppose seating an alleged child molester. Or to remind people that the president admitted to sexual assault on tape. Because it gets you losses.
Yeah, the American people weren't much interested in the Access Hollywood tape, were they?
No, not terribly.
Oh, he's going to have to leave the race now, won't he?
Yeah. It was just locker room talk. That's all it was, just locker room talk.
And women started running around, white women, poor, white, dumb, stupid women, walking around saying he can grab my, with an arrow pointing at their crotch, anytime he wants to.
Yep.
And I'm supposed to think that this is gonna change the nature of the power dynamic.
It won't.
Well, there ain't enough liquor to make me think that. Well, you doing all right otherwise?
Oh no, I'm about ready to go break the plea agreement.
I was thinking. I bet the plea agreement's on pretty shaky fucking ground, isn't it?
Because let me tell you, fuck it. Fuck it all.
Yeah, light another one. By all, I almost got me a 10-point MAGA hat there with the last cigarette butt, Carol.
I swear to God, I have not wanted weed this bad since the 70s.
Okay, so I'm not alone.
No.
I mean, you really, because lately, and it's been a while now. I just got this image of you know, young Alex in A Clockwork Orange with those things on his eyes that just make his eyeballs, that make his eyelids stay open and he can never blink and he just has to sit there and watch it all.
Yeah, like to watch the crumbling end of our civilization, because that's really what it is.
And you'd kind of like to take a little vacation from it?
I do want to take a little vacation from it. And it's like a car wreck on the highway. You say, I can't look, I'm not going to look. Oh, my God, I'm looking.
Oh, by the way, California's on fire. Yeah.
Who cares? Those are liberals out there. Bootstraps. Let them piss the flames out. Trump doesn't care. He doesn't care. He's not going to do anything about it. Nothing, you know, he said thoughts and prayers, and nothing foils climate change like thoughts and prayers.
Ain't it the truth?
Can I have an amen?
Amen and amen. Ha!
Say baby.
You beat me to it. Bye-bye.
That did it for me. I'm sorry. The old Ernest Angel, he just gets me every time.
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
It is. All right.
Well, hang in there. Enjoy the new digs. I mean, I know they were full up at the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Park and Country Club. But, you know, sometimes you gotta suck it up and move on, Carol.
But you know what? I am 5 minutes from work, and I have 20 hours a week more to myself.
Glory.
That I'm not spending driving on the road, being frustrated with construction and morons and
maggots and trumpanzees.
And yeah, I'm done, and I'm living in a neighborhood that's got old people and young people and white people and black people and Mexican people, and everybody is so friendly to each other, and nobody thinks of saying stupid things to me when I'm going to my mailbox, and it's really kind of refreshing.
Oh, I'll bet it is. I absolutely bet it, because I mean I know a little bit about that, because you know, it's a 45-minute round trip to the grocery store. if I want anything, you know, more than bologna and cheese.
Everything's 5 minutes away. And oh my God, people deliver groceries, food.
It's oh, like, now you're rubbing it in. Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know what that is? That's, that is, what are we going to call that? That's civilization signaling.
It's just fabulous. I was so tired last night when I got home. I'd worked all night the night before. We've been trying to beat the freeze. So, I mean, we were literally up on roofs with spotlights, and I was taking food to the guys and stuff to try to keep them warm. And I was just so tired when I got home. And I picked up the phone and called Pickleman's Delicatessen, and they sent the most scrumptious food over, and it was.
Oh, good. Tell me there was corned beef and pastrami. Just go ahead. Break my heart.
There was.
God damn it. I knew it. I just knew
Big enough that you could barely get your mouth around it.
Oh, you know how to hurt a guy. You know.
Rye bread, tissue paper thin.
Yes, and the good mustard, not the cheap yellow stuff.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, it, you know, so there's a plea agreement, but there's also a deli that delivers. You know,
the grocery store will deliver if I don't want to get out. But I'm not that lazy yet.
Oh, God, I know. Civilization. Carol Baker, thank you so much. We haven't talked since God was a baby, and I'm so glad we did.
I know. I saw you struggling there, and I was just like, you want a woman's perspective? Here you go.
And I do appreciate it. I sincerely
do. I appreciate you, too.
All right, thanks, Carol. Take care.
You're welcome, and thanks to everybody at the Horn family.
Let's see. Let's get you one of these on the way out the door. Okay. Ain't much,
well,
but it's something. You're more than welcome. It has been a while. Take care, Carol. Bye now.
Thanks, bye.
The one, the only, the incomparable Carol Baker. No longer of Hooterville. She's moved up to the big city now. Yep. So, hey, some good news. Steve's challenge got met, and then some. Thank you, Keith. Thank you very, very kindly, which means we now have every bit of $35 to finish fundraising for the evening and an hour and 7 minutes to find that in. That matters. Anybody want to help knock down that $35? It's much, much appreciated. A little trip to the mailbag. Mailbag, please. Note from Darius, subject line, Trent Franks. Bob, don't forget Trent was the one that was worried about smuggling nuclear bombs in bales of marijuana. Also, the Dems stand for nothing but themselves. Shit, they let Mitch steal a Supreme Court seat. Yeah, that one still stings. I think Trump grabbed them by the pussy and they liked it. Wow. Meanwhile, up in Amherst, where they don't pronounce the H, Terry with a note. We lost our close approximation of a pit bull in the Senate today. Damn it, people, and women in particular, get off your asses and get on the phone to these devils and tell them thanks for nothing. And having said that, Al, the pressure you were getting from your so-called colleagues to step down should have been, get the F out of my face and get out of my way and I'll see you at the hearings. Call the Capitol switchboard at 202-224-3121. Do it! Signed, Terry, in Amherst. Subject line, McConnell's accent. James says, not bad. Just consider biting off a chaw of petrified swine turd to get it right. It ain't every radio program in the United States where you get a reference to petrified swine turd. If that doesn't get a cowbell, nothing does. Let's see. Yes, there it is. Thank you, Marty. The specific person referenced by Tom Arnold on Twitter was John Phillips at KABC. And apparently White Rose has just gone belly up. Well, ain't that beautiful. Thanks for letting me know, Randy. All right, let's take a break. based on something Laurel said a couple of minutes ago. This is inspired me to choose this. It's Thorn in the Side Thursday, and I feel downright pierced. This is listener-supported conversation radio. God, I'm glad I've got you guys to talk to. This is The Horn. We'll be back.
Sunny side down, and I'm still thinking I'm too proud to flip her over. Between the champagne, hand jobs, and the kissing ass by everyone involved, cocaine rich comes quick, and that's when the small dicks have it all.
It's Thursday, December 7, 2017.
Raging wildfires continue to burn.
Step up to GMC and get $12,000 total value on this special.
Stand by, damn it. Let's try this again.
It's Thursday, December 7, 2017.
Raging wildfire continues to burn in the heart of Los Angeles.
Southern California wildfires continue to rage out of control. Interior Secretary proposes shrinking even more national monuments. New study warns even more public lands at risk due to fossil fuel exploitation. Plus, good news for renewable energy. It's now cheaper than both coal and nuclear plants.
All of that good and not so good news straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Trump signed an order slashing the size of bears' ears and Grand Staircase National Monuments. Yes, I can understand. Oh, hey, come on. It's reasonable that he doesn't care about them. They're just national monuments. They're not Confederate monuments.
Oh, man. This is your Green News Room. National monuments, and now outdoor recreation company Patagonia has announced that they, too, will sue, calling his reduction of the size of bears' ears by 85% an extreme overreach in authority. The company also put a full-page banner on the front of their website. The president stole your land? And Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke says that that advertisement was shameful.
Well, it looks like it's a very unpopular move that Trump has made. And more on that in just a minute. First off, though, California's most destructive fire season on record has just gotten worse. Just weeks after deadly wildfires in wine country in Northern California, down here in Southern California, multiple wind-driven wildfires exploded across the region this week. As we go to air, four major active fires are seriously straining the region's emergency resources. In total, the fires have destroyed more than 300 structures, forced the evacuations of nearly 200,000 people, shut down hundreds of schools and major freeway arteries, and enveloped the Los Angeles region in smoke. Thankfully, no deaths or major injuries have been reported. The largest and most destructive fire has hit the historic beach city of Ventura, California, burning 80 square miles, covering a football field every few seconds. In a press conference on Wednesday, Los Angeles County Fire Chief Daryl Osby told residents in woodland areas to be prepared to leave at a moment's notice.
It's critically important if there's an incident in your area that you evacuate early. We're expecting wind gusts in some areas up to 80 miles per hour. If you see something, don't wait for the evacuation order. Leave.
No official word yet on the causes of any of these fires. A multi-day Santa Ana wind event, the worst of the year, has created what the National Weather Service called, quote, a recipe for explosive fire growth.
The state of California uses a color-coded wind map, and the most extreme wind is purple. They have never used that before. They are using that today.
The region has had no meaningful precipitation since March. Because of global warming, California's winters are increasingly warmer and drier, and winter wildfires are increasing in frequency. Now fire season extends all year round. Meanwhile, in the wake of President Trump's slashing the size of two iconic national monuments to allow mining and drilling, Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke has now released a draft proposal for shrinking even more of America's protected national monuments, focusing on Cascade Siskiyou in Oregon and Gold Butte in Nevada. Zinke also proposed management changes for six more. That's code for allowing drilling, logging, and mining.
I can think of somewhere else I'd like to see some management changes.
In a statement, Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon noted that national monuments generate millions in tourism for local economies, saying, quote, Donald Trump's rollback harms rural economic progress and job creation. And also, very disturbingly, Zinke proposes opening up vast marine ocean reserves to industrial-scale commercial fishing, areas specifically set aside to rebuild depleted fisheries, crucial for sustaining the nation's seafood supply. And now a new report this week calculates just how much of the American public's land may be at risk of destruction from the Trump administration because they sit atop fossil fuels. In a first-ever comprehensive analysis, Greenpeace found that more than 120 million acres of federally protected lands larger than the state of California contain or overlap fossil fuel reserves and could be next on the chopping block as Trump reshapes American land policy to benefit the fossil fuel industry. Finally, though, some good news for renewable energy. A new study finds the cost of new wind and solar projects is cheaper now than running existing coal and nuclear plants for electricity. The researchers project that as utility-scale battery storage comes online, renewables will outpace natural gas as well.
Of course they will, as those folks who give a damn have been saying for many years. For much more on all of these reports and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to New York Island, the Redwood Forest, near the Gulf Stream water. Well, this land's
been... It's about 6 minutes past the hour, and thanks very kindly to Kitty in Boston, who says, cheers. Thank you, Kitty. Thank you so much. So that takes us down to $25 to go on the evening. I bet we can do this. I'm going to go right to the phones because Laurel's on the line, and I think he's been about fit to bust probably since yesterday. I want to mention a couple of things. One, I could not be prouder to be the owner of a couple of shirts from Patagonia. This season or at any time, if you need outdoor stuff, whether it's their awesome freaking down jackets and coats, or stuff that'll help you not get fried to a crisp in harsh sunshine. That would be me. Base layers, thermal stuff, fleece, men, women, kids, whatever. You just heard a really, really good reason to purchase your outdoor clothing from Patagonia. I got a gift certificate last Christmas, and it tickled me pink. And it's part of the reason that I didn't get fried to a crisp when we managed to go down to the beach this past summer. I wore that stuff, long sleeves, thumb loop, ultra light, boom, dries. And it protected me. Big old hood. Little hood. It was like a hoodie, but it was ultra super thin. And there's a million companies out there: North Face, Arc'teryx, Mountain Hardware is the upscale line from Columbia. Outdoor Research. There's a bunch of that stuff, but Patagonia puts its money where its mouth is. And they're actually suing the federal government to stop the destruction of Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante. And if, as we have said, consumer decisions are actually moral choices, then I'd say you're doing pretty good if you're doing business with Patagonia. You can find them at patagonia.com. They got great stuff. Yeah, it's pricey. It is. But if you shop the specials, yeah, you'll see stuff marked down by 50% or so. That's how I got my two sun hoodies. And so consequently, I'm not getting paid for this. This is not paid product placement. We don't have commercial support here. But if you need that sort of thing, and look, in wintertime, you don't have to be a mountain climber or a backpacker or a hiker to just want to be warm in winter. And you cannot be warmer than you will be in one of their down jackets or hoodies or sweaters, or you just can't. And their water impervious stuff is amazing. The lines are clean. You can really move around well in them. It's the brand of choice here among the backpackers and the hikers and the fly fishermen and the rock climbers and cyclers and so forth in this little this little ecotourism area. You see more Patagonia than you do anything else. So, again, reward them if you, you know, if you value if you value people who will stand up and fight, reward Patagonia. Carol, after our conversation, Carol shared this with me, and it's a follow-up on the Trent Franks business, and I'm going to share it to you, share it with you. It's a statement from Paul Ryan's office, who still has not demanded that Blake Farenthold resign, by the way, or told Joe Barton that he's got to leave right now. Okay, thank you, Steve. Stop telling us how to dress, Bob. last Wednesday, the speaker was briefed on credible claims of misconduct by Representative Trent Franks. He found the allegations to be serious and requiring action. The next day, the speaker presented Representative Franks with the allegations, which he did not deny. The speaker told Representative Franks that he intended to refer the allegations directly to the House Ethics Committee and told him that he should resign from Congress. The allegations were filed with the Ethics Committee last Friday, and today the speaker accepted a letter of resignation. The speaker has taken seriously his obligation to ensure a safe workplace in the House. Background. About 2 weeks ago, the general counsel to the speaker was contacted by a friend with information about troubling behavior by Representative Trent Franks directed at a former staffer that took place at the time that this person worked in the congressman's office. The speaker's general counsel believed the information was concerning and warranted examination. The speaker's general counsel inquired whether the former staffer would be willing to share their story directly, and the person agreed. On Tuesday of last week, the speaker's general counsel interviewed the former staffer, who shared claims of misconduct directed at this person, as well as a second former staff member. The claim involving the second aide was validated independently by the speaker's office through a third party who had been made aware of the matter at the time. The next day, the speaker was briefed. The following day, he brought the claims to Representative Franks, and the next morning, the complaint was filed with the Ethics Committee. Subsequent conversations took place this week between the speaker and Representative Franks, leading to the congressman's decision to offer his letter of resignation. Do you hear that? In other words, on the same day, God, they're so much better at this than we are. On the same day that Kirsten Gillibrand and Kamala Harris and 33 other Democrats in the Senate nailed up Al Franken's pelt to the wall with not so much as an investigation, with no inquiry into the truth or falsity of the allegations, and at the very moment that they were planting their flag on the high ground, Paul Ryan walked out and said, "Fuck you, you amateurs, look at this." And details the lengths to which his office went to verify the claims against Trent Franks, make sure that they were true, vet the accuser's accounts, and then immediately demanded the resignation of Trent Franks, which he tendered. Man, we just, you claw and you scrabble and you dig and you scrounge and you belly flop your way up there and you just get the flag planted and you look up and son of a bitch, if Paul Ryan isn't already standing there with his flag in the ground.
I claim this high ground in the name of Mars.
Yeah. Wow. Just, you know, wow. Reminds me of what Casey Stengel is alleged to have said to the 1962 Mets. Does anybody here know how to play this game? Yeah. So I thought I would share those with you. Carol notes, regardless of Franks' surrogacy explanation, Ryan seems to have seen this as a congressman repeatedly and inappropriately propositioning staffers to bear his children to the point of discomfort and intimidation. to the point of discomfort and intimidation? Wouldn't that have been the moment he fucking said it? Why, yes, as a matter of fact, it would have been. I know, Arthur says, wow, Bob, Due Diligence by Paul Ryan? And I got the big eye, little eye kind of emoji. Jesus, we are such amateurs. Such amateurs. It's pitiful. And you know what? It didn't cost him anything. Paul Ryan ran up there and planted his flag on the high ground, just as ambitious Kirsten Gillibrand and Kamala Harris were getting there, and then, God damn it! And it didn't cost him a thing, because Trent Franks comes from a district that is so reliably Republican that if they put a rock in a chair, it would vote the way Paul Ryan wants him to. It to. By crap, Thar's hammer. What a bargain. Okay. Let's go over and check in with Laurel. Laurel, are you there? Are you okay? Are you okay, buddy?
I'm here.
Working
on. I'm hearing a hell of an echo, though. I'm hearing you from like 30 seconds ago on this constant loop.
Well, that's probably because you've still got the program going.
Well, I've got everything's muted over here, I think. Yeah.
Well, that's probably.
Never mind. I'm dumb. can you tell I've been doing Smirnoff and Monster for the last 6 hours?
No, but if you keep trying, I'll probably figure it out.
Bob, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, good Lord. Where do I begin? Can you tell me where to begin?
Anywhere you want.
Bob?
Anywhere you want. This is the ledge.
I can't. I'm having trouble hearing you, but.
Well, it's got to be on your end because it worked pretty well.
It's probably on. Well, I have Frontier too, Bob, so that might complicate things a bit.
Oh, we've got Frontier times Frontier. Well, that equals no internet at all.
Exactly. Carol's sending me a message. Pray. Okay, Carol, I'll pray.
Carol.
She's giving me awesome advice.
Hey, go for it. I mean, unlimber yourself.
Well, Bob, there's nothing so amazing in this world as the beauty of forgiveness. You know, I haven't told you about my eclipse trip yet. I think I'm going to spend some time and tell you about that.
Well, okay.
It was awesome. You know, I was telling you, one of the last times I called you, I was talking about how psyched I was about going to see this eclipse. And,
right, right. Yeah.
And, you know, I remember you saying, you know, God help you if you have to rent a hotel room to get down there because they'd be all booked up. Well,
I'm a little ray of sunshine. You know, remember, that's my job.
I'll tell you what. It worked out awesome. I saw everything. It was absolutely beautiful. It was a life-changing experience. And I'm telling you, I'm not the kind of person that gets out much. I'm not great with conversation. I'm not great with going out amongst the world. You know, I'd get lost very easy in the halls of D.C. doing what you do for the ACT Act and everything else. Despite the fact that I grew up in Minnesota, was born and raised here, before this trip last August, this was the first time I'd ever been in the eastern half of Iowa. I drove down through Waterloo for the first time, through Cedar Rapids for the first time, through Iowa City for the first time. I spent the night in Davenport.
You know what I always think about? You know what I always think about when I hear Waterloo, Iowa? I think about the time when Michelle Bachmann was running for president, and she went down to Waterloo, Iowa, and proudly proclaimed that it was the birthplace of John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah, yes, it was.
She meant but to say John more. Wayne, but Gacy just came on out.
Yeah, well, stuff happens. Anyway, I get up and I'm at the breakfast bar at the hotel in Davenport, getting my waffle and, you know, juice and whatever, and, you know, see on the TV this report of a shooting death that had taken place in Bettendorf next door, and thinking, there might be kind of dangerous neighborhoods nearby, and thinking, you know, okay, granted, I live in a small town. Anytime I see reports of, you know, crime like this, it's like, well, this might be a little sketchy, you know, I don't know. I've lived in a small town my whole life. What do I know? But nonetheless, get through with my breakfast, you know, get out in my car, program the GPS to get to my nearest friendly gas station, because I've got a, you know, local gas station credit card, local gas station, you know, savings card, so that I can fuel up cheap to make it all the way down to where I was planning on seeing the eclipse. So anyway, the GPS gives me a few options. It just so happens that the closest option ended up taking me down a dead end road somewhere in Davenport. So I'm trying to work my way around and through to get to where the nearest actual gas station is. And the GPS station is lovingly trying to help me along. And I'm going down streets and alleys and another street and alley. And all of a sudden I come across the scene with the police tape that I saw on the TV earlier that morning. And I'm saying, oh, wow. Thank you, Siri, for leading me to the scene of the crime that I was watching on the news this morning. I guess Siri has something against me, so I don't know what I did to Siri, but I apologize, Siri. You know, again, the power of forgiveness is amazing. But nonetheless, I found my way out of there. Managed to make my way out of the state of Iowa and into Illinois. Drove my way through Illinois and down through the interstate system down to St. Louis, and didn't get down to St. Louis in time enough to enjoy the ride that goes up the arch that at somebody of my size would never been able to get on anyway. But you got to be really kind of small to get inside those pods that take you up the ride to get up to the top of the arch where you can see.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that from my childhood. That was a creepy that was a creepy looking elevator.
I'm not missing that at all. I'm not missing that at all. But nonetheless, I got some good pictures of the arch. I got some, you know, good pictures of the city of St. Louis. I'm telling you, St. Louis is a beautiful city. It really is a beautiful city. You know, it's just a shame I, you know, don't like city driving enough to go around there too much. But nonetheless, I got myself a decent hotel room. You thought I wouldn't find any hotel rooms around the eclipse site. No, I found a decent hotel room the night before the eclipse. It was in suburban St. Louis. It was somewhere on the west side. You know, it was a nice, clean hotel room. And, you know, spent the night in the hotel room in St. Louis, and, you know, sitting there watching the news and noticing that, you know, the girls on the St. Louis newscast are a lot prettier than the girls on the Davenport newscast. Is that sexist of me? I don't know. Just observations that I make on my own. But nonetheless, I get out of St. Louis early. You know, I left St. Louis Monday morning, the day of the eclipse. Heading for Centralia, Illinois, where I was planning on seeing the eclipse. I'm telling you, the drive from St. Louis to Centralia, I can't remember what highway I was on. I think it was.
Did you find time to see Cahokia?
I didn't see Cahokia. No, I did not see Cahokia. But I saw some of the most beautiful nature scenery. Some of the most beautiful scenery you could ever imagine just driving through southern Illinois. I think it was like a state highway 3 or something. On the way to Centralia, thinking to myself, this is some of the most beautiful. This is some of the most beautiful countryside I have ever witnessed. And at the end of this, I'm going to see a total solar eclipse. It was just amazing, the scenery that I was driving through to get there. And I got to Centralia. You know, I parked there, you know, just parked in some parking lot somewhere. Dial through the Weather Channel app. I was religiously going through this Weather Channel app to try to find which spot was going to be exactly sunny, you know, for the entirety of the eclipse. And I'm going through this, and for the spot that says Centralia, it says possibility of clouds. And I'm going through again, and I'm going through other spots, and it's saying Hopkinsville, Kentucky, clear throughout the eclipse, and saying, screw this, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to take off and drive down to Hopkinsville. So I quick run back in the car, drive for another couple hours down to Hopkinsville. I get to Hopkinsville, Kentucky, right around the time the eclipse starts. So I'm pulling in a gas station. And as soon as I get into town, I'm at this gas station, take out, you know, come out, pull up my solar shades, look up. Yeah, the very earliest signs of the eclipse are going on. I can just see the barest dip going out of the eclipse. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, the skies are clear right now. Okay, I'm going to see the eclipse. I think I'm set. So I go in the gas station, you know, get my drinks and whatever, get out, start driving around again. Can't go anywhere near downtown Hopkinsville because it's completely packed. I mean, Hopkinsville is a city of a size about 40,000 normally. There's probably 200,000 people downtown at this point. So I wind up in the lot of like a Family Dollar. And, you know, I'm setting a camera, you know, setting up the camera, and some people with some vests on from the Walmart across the street start walking up and ask me, hey, this is a private part, this is public property, you have to pay us $20. And it's like, I want to argue so bad with these people because they're wearing Walmart property, they're wearing Walmart outfits, telling me to give them money, and I'm not even on Walmart property. And then I'm thinking, oh, God, this is a one-time in the lifetime moment. I'm not even going to have any moral arguments on it. Here, take my $20. Leave me alone.
Oh,
I've got
you
a
did.
Once-in-a-lifetime
oh,
show.
You didn't. You didn't. You
yes,
didn't.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I was like, here, take my money. Leave me alone. I just want to see this. Please, just let me be.
So you got to see the clouds. The clouds broke up. You got to see the eclipse.
There were no clouds. It was perfectly clear. Google Hopkinsville, Kentucky during the eclipse. There are no clouds anywhere in the sky. I got the prime location, not just for seeing the eclipse, but for seeing the maximum eclipse. Hopkinsville, Kentucky was the spot on the eclipse track that had the maximum length of eclipse, an entire 2 minutes and 40 seconds of eclipse, where during the entire length of the eclipse track, you could not see more eclipse than you could see in Hopkinsville at that point. I saw not just totality, I saw the maximum of totality that you could see in that event, despite the fact that it cost me however much money, that however many, you know, tourist traps could suck out of me. I caught each and every one of those 160 seconds of totality on camera, and I've got it on film. I've got it on camera. I can post it up to the Horn website or your website or whatever, and I can tell you that experience was as life-changing as you could imagine.
Yeah, but wouldn't it burn out our retinas to watch it?
I put a solar look, I wore solar filters. I put a solar filter on the camera. You know, you can see it without being completely obliterated by white blinding brightness. You know,
I was being a little facetious.
You know, I understand. There's really no other way to describe experiencing a total solar eclipse than to say you are literally experiencing another world. To look up and see such a perfect alignment between celestial bodies that, quite frankly, couldn't care about our puny little existence or our puny little political differences or our puny little religions or our puny little ideologies. And to look up and to just see what looks like almost this giant silver cosmic shotgun aimed directly at me with this completely dark barrel pointed directly at me. And to feel, don't take this the wrong way, and to feel as if I am being blown away, and yet to be totally alive at the same time. I am not exaggerating when I say to be in the midst of an experience like that.
It was
completely.
It was epiphanous.
Soul changing.
It was
experience.
It was epiphanous, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so I'm really, really glad you had that experience, and I'm really glad that you enjoyed it and made the best of the trip. But I'm guessing that isn't exactly what was on your mind.
No, you're right. That's not exactly what was on my mind. What was on my mind is the fact that many years ago, sometime after my third DUI in 3 years, when I was in the midst of stumbling through my fifth step, somehow I found myself asking my little sister for forgiveness for what I had done when I was young. No excuse.
Yeah, but if it would have been if it would have been a felony, there's no statute of limitations on it, so you probably don't want to go any further.
Okay. She forgave me, Bob.
Good.
She forgave me. It still tears me up, but she forgave me. I can't understand to this day, but she forgave me. And she loves me this day.
Good.
These are heavy times, Bob.
Yeah, they are. They absolutely
are. These
are
very heavy times. We need each other and we need to fight. We've got a hell of a fight on our hands, Bob.
Yeah, and people we got a hell of a fight on our hands, and people who don't know how to fight.
Exactly.
You know, during the siege of Stalingrad, it is reported that poorly armed, poorly equipped Soviet troops would be sent into the teeth of German entrenchments. Gun emplacements, and they were expected to just simply go and pile up and die. The military theory behind it being that they were going to try to make the bullet. They figured they had more bodies than the Germans had bullets. And if anybody tried to retreat, the Soviet soldiers behind them murdered them. Shot him in the front, shot him in the back, didn't matter. If they didn't do anything but run into the teeth of those guns, the Soviet military killed him just as dead. And this sort of reminds me of that. We've apparently got a large contingent in the Senate of the United States who will do the work of the enemy for them. And I don't use that word idly. The enemy. The Republican Party, as it is presently constituted, is the enemy of everything that is good and decent in this country. Okay? The Speaker of the House has announced that next up is going after Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security. Because, you know, there are just too many poors out there taking up too much money that could be better given to their betters. They can't fund CHIP. They don't give a shit about 9 million children who are on who depended on CHIP for access to health and health care. They're out the window. They're going to give a pissant tax break that's only going to last for a few years to people that they won't even know that they're getting because it's so goddamn minuscule. And then it's going to run out, but the tax breaks for our betters, well, that's going to be permanent. And I can go on and on and on. They're going to joyfully seat a man who sexually abused little girls and trolled for little girls at the mall and said hit on Santa's little helper. Hey, baby, you want a date? And went after little teenage part-time waitresses at the old Hickory House skeeved around at high school football and basketball games to the point that a member of the police force had to be specifically detailed to keep him from creepering all over the little girls. And they're going to seat him, and like I said, Mitch McConnell's going to say, the people of Alabama have spoken, and this is not a matter for the ethics committee. We need to move forward with our freedom agenda here in the new United States of America, and that's what we're going to do. And if any Democrat tries to rise up on their hind legs and say anything, Mitch McConnell will slap them so goddamn hard their great grandmammies will feel it. That's the fight we're in, and the people that are expected to do the fighting for us don't have the stomach for it.
And, you know, Bob, I'd give my left kidney to be a citizen of Alabama right now and to be able to cast a vote for Doug Jones. Of course, right now I'd probably have to give my right kidney just to keep Al Franken in. You know, I don't know what to do.
Well, there's not much you can do. I mean, you can call and register your displeasure with Schumer's office, Gillibrand's office, Harris's office. I mean, you're in Minnesota. Call Franken's office and say, "Stay, goddammit, stand and fight."
I left messages at his phone number on his Facebook page. Do not resign. This is a witch hunt.
Call Klobuchar. Don't use that term.
I know. Don't use it.
Call Klobuchar's office and tell her that she'll never get your vote again. Call Keith Ellison's office and say, you know, I stood up for you when people were saying you had no business and no right to be in the Congress. Never again. You're faithless.
Yeah. And here's the thing. My representative is a blue dog, one of the most conservative Democrats in the Senate. And he was calling for LSAT, too. It's like, what am I supposed to do?
Oh, you mean you're a member of the House?
The last three guys that my Democratic representative, my blue dog, defeated were Bachman crazy. He won all three elections, but the guys he beat, the people he beat were, like I said, the Bachman crazy kind of stuff. What do I do? What do I do? You know? This is not, oh God. You still there, Bob?
I'm right here.
Jesus, this is such a goddamn mess. The only thing separating liberal women from the fate of the Handmaid's Tale is liberal men. I guess that's the only message that keeps permeating through my mind. I am not perfect. I am flawed. I'm a human. I have sinned. Do I have to go through that whole spiel? I have sinned.
Well, this but is not. This the is. Only look, thing hey, separating... hey, 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 Laurel.
Oh.
Don't jump up on the cross, okay?
We got
enough of that going on.
Yeah.
But what I'm going to do is I want to make sure that anybody else that wants to get in can get into the program. So.
All right, Bob.
You take care. stay off.
LT says hi. LT, come here. Come here, LT.
Hey
come
to
here,
LT.
LT, come here. LT, come. You don't even want to think. Come here, LT. Come here.
Yeah, did.
Come here. Come here. Come on. LT, come here. I spooked him. He's hiding in the bedroom right now.
I understand. We'd all like to go and hide sometimes. I understand that completely. Laurel, you have yourself a good evening. You take care, all right?
I love you too, Bob. Carol, Sister Carol, I love you too.
All right.
You are just amazing.
All right.
Thank you.
You take care.
Bye.
Bye now. Laurel up in the far reaches of southwest Minnesota. And I don't know who this is or where they are, but hey, you're on the pro. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Nick in Minnesota.
Hey, Nick, how are you?
All right. You know, it's been so long since I've called. It's like a new phone number. I didn't even know.
I guess it has been a while then, hasn't it?
Yep, because I still had the 663-4676, right?
Yeah, that was the old stress line. Maybe we'll bring it back one of these days if we get a better piece of equipment.
I was going to call after the Philando Castile verdict, I really didn't have anything. Much to say about it. It's a conspiracy or whatever, but I really think the prosecutor wanted to get the conviction. He tried his damnedest. He made mistakes, but like, you know, every trial they make their mistakes, and I just think that it's tough with the jury because they always are thinking to themselves, boy, I wouldn't want to be a cop. I wouldn't want to be a cop, you know. So they're always ready to give them the benefit of the doubt no matter what, you know.
Yeah.
We sort of had a new – we put a new twist in that thing anyway with a Somalian cop killing an Australian woman, so –
yeah, that was
that was a new twist on it, but
anything come of that?
I haven't heard anything as far as it going to trial yet or anything like that. You know, it's really bizarre that he got spooked. You know, really bizarre that he must have gotten scared or something. I have a hard time
conceptualizing scary Australian women. Sorry, just do.
Anybody? Obviously, it wasn't her, but I mean, being in the city, you know, loud noises or whatever, you know, mistakes happen. Only when you have a gun, you know, and that goes back to the gun thing. You know, it'd be nice to have it so police officers wouldn't need to carry guns, too.
But, well, yeah, it would, because mistakes made with guns have a way of being very final.
Yeah, this is true. So anyway, I'm really glad we have you because I was thinking independently along the same lines as you were, And it was driving me crazy listening to, I was, you know, I wanted to hear, I wanted to hear Franken's speech on the floor. So I was listening to Minnesota Public Radio. And they, it was, you know, basically, I was thinking to myself, what the hell are they talking about?
You're there, Nick. Are they still screaming, crucify him?
Yes. I would say.
Because I'm looking at a story right now that says the, let's see, Franken's resignation speech didn't go over well with his accusers.
Right. Oh, it wasn't.
I'm a little disappointed
enough
that he would continue to dismiss and put the allegations down. Well, what do you want? You want him to admit something that he says he didn't do?
Yeah, there wasn't enough contrition, and
how can you be contrite for something that you say you didn't damned well do?
A couple of the callers wanted to bring up the Roger Stone thing, and the commentator said, "Oh, we're not going down any rabbit hole conspiracy theory, you know."
That's not a goddamn conspiracy theory.
That made me scream. That made me scream because I'm like, I was like, if I had a phone and had the time, I would have liked to call and say, "Do you agree that there is a person named Roger Stone?" You know, I mean, it does that person exist? I mean, it's like, you know, she didn't want to have anything to deal with that at all, you know. It's like, to me, it's definitely a case where he definitely got rat fucked. Definitely, he got railroaded bad.
And maybe. Nick, I don't know how old you are, and I'm not asking. But
I'm like about 5 years older than you are.
Okay, Bob. So good.
57. I was born in 57.
Okay, so you know, you probably have some sort of memory of the Nixon years, right?
Oh yes. My dad and I religiously watched that summer the Watergate hearings.
So
and
do you remember?
I distinctly remember, you know, the Butterfield when they, you know, it was like boring, you know, and then all of a sudden he said, you know, like that they had recorded conversations, and it was like, huh, you know. It didn't look like there was much of a day that day watching it after, you know, Dean and them guys. But then it was like, oh, they got tapes. So that was, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the reason I asked, Nick,
it was an interesting summer.
Well, the reason I asked,
my dad remembered. I think that was why my dad got a TV set originally, was to watch the Army McCarthy hearings. You know, so he remembered them.
Okay, so the reason I brought up Nixon is because this whole affair, and especially because of Roger Stone's involvement in it, you know, Roger Stone goes all the way back to Nixon.
Right, he's got the tattoo or whatever, right?
Exactly. And Roger Stone, he knows the evil shit that was perpetrated by the Nixon team, and the official term for it that they used for it is rat fucking. Okay.
Yeah.
Now that being the case, there was one particular instance of rat fuckery that has come to mind as this whole sorry tableau has played out. And that's something called the Canuck letter. You remember that?
I don't think I do.
Okay, so Edmund Muskie of Maine.
Oh, okay, with a crying. Okay, yeah.
Edmund Muskie of Maine was running in 1972.
Right.
He was an upright, decent and honorable senator from Maine.
This helped.
So the content of the Canuck letter It was a letter to the editor in the Manchester Union Leader in New Hampshire. It was published February 24th, 1972, a couple of weeks before the New Hampshire primary.
Yeah.
And what it did is it alleged that Muskie was a bigot with regard to American citizens who were of French-Canadian ancestry. It is described as being in a childish scrawl with poor spelling. And the writer said that he met Muskie in Florida and that he asked Muskie how he could understand the problem of African Americans when there are so few black folks in Maine. Then the letter said that a member of Muskie's staff said, "Not blacks, but we have Canucks." In other words, people of French-Canadian ancestry who live in Maine. And that Muskie then laughed. And Canuck was a derogatory term, okay, when it was used in that context. So it gets published by a Manchester Union Leader that completely gets fished. And Muskie gave a speech calling out the publisher of the Union Leader a liar, and then calling him out for attacking the attacking his wife Jane's character. And when he got to that part, he wept.
Right.
And it was said that he broke down three times in 3 minutes. The whole thing was a setup. It wasn't real. The Canuck letter was just a piece of dirty, filthy, rotten, evil politics perpetrated by the Nixon Dirty Trick staff, at whose feet Roger Stone was learning. Now, fast forward to 2017, and what you have in Leanne Tweeden is a modern version of the Canuck letter. I have no doubt whatsoever, and there is no conspiracy theory about it. You know, Roger Stone has been kicked off of Twitter, but his associate on Stone's behalf tweeted that Stone said, "Now it's going to be Franken's time in the barrel." And you're telling me that there's somebody that's ostensibly a professional broadcaster or journalist in Minnesota who says that that's a conspiracy rabbit hole? Fuck him.
Yeah,
that's astonishing. You know, I'm glad you brought it to our attention, because it kind of tells me.
She was also saying, or one of her guests was also saying, "Well, don't worry, because Dayton is going to choose a very progressive senator, blah, blah, blah." And I'm thinking, yeah, that's fine until 2019 when we end up with a Republican elected, because
Bingo.
There's no way.
And you know what? choosing a progressive senator to replace Franken, yeah, the Republicans will just kick her around for a little, you know, for as long as they find it amusing to do so.
Yeah,
our side doesn't have the first goddamn clue how to fight.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of depressed that there was what Democratic senator basically told them not to resign, though. They all were, you know, on board with it.
Right. There were
yeah,
35 Democratic senators and what? 12 remaining silent.
Okay, there were 12, and one of them was
I saw a quote from Bernie saying, Well, maybe now Donald Trump will follow the good example that Al Franken has set.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, you're kidding, right?
I mean, that was sad that it was Bernie too. So, yeah, I mean, I can understand that. Obviously, if Franken had stayed, his ability to do much would have been greatly diminished. But at least he would have been a vote, you know, for until 2020 at the, you know. I just can't see that, like you said, 53% of white women voted for Trump anyway. I can't see that this, that's what it seems like the other side is saying is, you know, the Me Too thing is going to revolutionize people to make sure that they end up voting Democratic. Because all the, you know, women are going to get behind the Democratic Party by being.
And
so
will you pardon me
and,
for saying what a load of unmitigated horse shit that is?
Well, I mean, I listened to it driving home today from work on Sirius XM, and I was like, I guess I should have just been listening to music. You know? Because that's what they were saying. So, I mean, there's not enough people that are thinking the right way about this, and it's too late to do anything about it. So, we'll suffer the consequences.
Well,
and
Nick,
with that, good night.
Nick, with that, I will bid you good night, and thank you so much for calling
wait,
in. And
is there one? You got 1 second?
Okay, yeah, 1 second.
Hold on. My daughter's dog probably wants to talk to you.
Oh, really?
Let's see. Yeah. His name is Flippy. I would have probably been a better contributor to Head On Radio, but he had a $3,000 vet bill for eating a whole spare rib, bone and all. So he had to get the bone out of his stomach.
Ow!
Flippy! Oh, he's all settled down. He doesn't want to run around.
Yeah, none of the dogs want to talk to me tonight. I understand. It's not a big deal. Thank you, Nick. And thanks for the Minnesota perspective. I really appreciate it.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Our buddy Nick calling from Minnesota. A dog that can take down a whole spare rib. Whoa. Hey, there was some good news today. Robert and Oz wrote me a little bit earlier to let me know that same-sex marriage was signed into law by the Governor General, and the first weddings in Australia will happen beginning January 9th. That's good. And you know what? Compared to or interposed against the Franken business, you've got Sam Cedar, who had guts enough to stand up and fight back against the right-wing slime brigade. MSNBC canned him, and today MSNBC reversed course because Sam Cedar and a whole lot of people told MSNBC how badly they'd screwed up as James just pointed out. Chris immediately had Sam Cedar on his program this evening. Good for Sam. Good for standing up, and good for everybody that stood with him and didn't let him get shivved in the same sort of a smear campaign that was run against Al Franken. Matt in San Francisco with a late-breaking note. And in addition to the other good news, the new tax bill will take away federal relief funds for earthquake and wildfire victims. I guess if you can't have it, burn it down. These are the kind of people we're trying to teach morality to. Yeah, good luck. And they hear only through their buttocks when you kick them there, when you apply a boot there. But we wouldn't want to do that. That wouldn't be nice. Goddamn Minnesota nice is going to be the end of us. And finally, big thanks, very kind thanks to our dear friend Alma, who finished off fundraising and a little bit more this evening in honor of Laurel. She said, I so appreciate his call. Thank you. Thank you, Alma. Thank you very, very kindly. So we'll be good tomorrow. Friday on the front porch is just 21 hours away. Thanks to all of you who join in this little conversation. Thank you so very kindly. Someday, maybe we'll get all the streaming issues fixed. I so sincerely appreciate your patience in dealing with all of that. I'm trying to do what I can on this end. Ben's working on his, and, well, thank heavens that that Asa is able to do what he does. Thank you, Asa. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky this evening in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox and Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.